Hey, this is Hustler Rip Rogers, and we're going live right now with the one and only. That's right, the one and only Wolfie D is on right now.
Hey, this is Jimmy Street, host of the Live and in Color with Wolfie D podcast. Hear the life and times of professional wrestler Wolfie D, from his time in the territories with PG-13 to his time in WWE, ECW, WCW, TNA, and more. Nothing is off limits and nothing will be held back. Thanks again for tuning in. Here he is, Wolfie D.
All right, folks, welcome once again to Live and in Color with Wolfie D and my man Jimmy across the street. Dude, what a week in wrestling it has been.
No
with
doubt.
Some wild stuff happening, man. Some wild stuff. And, you know, we usually don't talk about a lot of current events, if you want to call it that, but the whole Vince thing and Brock and Billy Jack and, you know, what am I forgetting here?
Jamie's son, Austin.
Yes. Yeah. And golly, Peter Miller passed away too.
Right.
Mahler, and I mean, I feel like I'm still forgetting some stuff that's gone down, man. But the whole Vince thing, as wild as it can be, and I don't want to get too much into all that because I think everybody just wants to distance themselves from that kind of shit. You know what I mean?
But can you say settlement? That's what I expect to happen out of that.
Is that what you think?
Yeah, man. Because first of all, Vince ain't going to let it go to court. I don't think he's going to go to court with it because he doesn't want to have all that out there. Plus, you know, she probably doesn't really want to be doing all this. Honestly, if he would have just paid her the rest of the $3 million, I think this would have been avoided. But whatever, you know,
I guess that's just his arrogance of, you know, I don't have to pay her that. I don't know. It's so weird. I was, like I said, I've had interactions with him, but not close enough to where I can really call it. Though, you know, that I know people that are close to him. And the fact that because my thing was, I just found it hard to believe somebody of his stature and his wealth and all that was a, you know, could spell pussy. I think, did I say this last week or something?
Yes.
But I actually know somebody that said, well, that's how I know it's true.
Right.
Because they think it's a shoot that those were written by him. So anyway, man, I don't know. It's crazy. But
It is crazy, man. And then Billy Jack killing his wife, bro.
Yeah. Come on. Well, like I said, I could have told you a long time ago that some bitch was crazy. And I'm not the only one, you know, that I've seen on social media saying the exact same thing, that he's been nuts for a long time. Even before I met him in the mid-90s, and just that laugh. Any dude that looks like that and laughs like that is fucking crazy.
Psycho. Yeah. If you see anybody that jacked like Billy Jack Haynes and laughs like Billy Jack did, the then run away. Just don't
get away from them.
They're not okay.
Yeah. And our condolences go out to my partner Jamie. His son Austin passed away, unfortunately. I think he was 34, I want to say 33, 34.
Something like that.
Unfortunate, very unfortunate, but our thoughts are with Jamie on that one. So
I'm sure you remember when that kid was born, man.
Man, yeah. I don't remember him being born because that would have been 1990, and Jamie and I met at that point. But I do remember him as a little kid, a very little kid. Probably 3 or something like that. 3, maybe even 4. I don't know. But
looked a lot like Jamie, man.
He did, man.
He did. You know,
I saw Jamie got him like a tribute tattoo for him and all that kind of stuff. So
very cool. Yeah,
that's
very
nice.
Jamie. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm trying to think, man. I did go to the Mid-Atlantic Legends Fan Fest reunion here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Big time there, man. That was fun.
Seen some of your pictures.
Yes, man. I, the NXT brand was represented there of the James Rock Street Productions episodes. No, but I mean, we, it's funny because I was talking more about our show than mine, but we got there and it was literally like, you know, so I know Tommy Angel from interviews and then David Isley, but Tommy was my main pivot point. And then he got me in touch with the guy who ran it, Greg Price, and he was like, come on in, man. And we brought Baby Doll on our show to put it over. Yeah. And yeah, it was a good turnout, man. You know, of course, SmackDown was happening in town on Friday. And, mm-hmm. you know, so they had it on Friday specifically for that. And it was cool, dude. All those Mid-Atlantic legends. I mean, I know you've been to Memphis gigs like this. I know mm-hmm. how crazy and fun that was. But, you know, Memphis was represented too. Jimmy Valiant was there. Man yeah. Mount Link was there, you know. Uh-huh. So
cool.
Lots of cool stuff. But yeah, got to meet David Crockett, which is awesome cool. for me, you know, and got to meet Tommy Young. I mean, I know you all say Jerry Calhoun's the best, but Tommy's right there with him, you know, so we love Tommy's Jerry.
Very good. I just, you know, it's just who you grew up on.
Of course. Know? Yeah. I mean, I've become a Memphis adoptee, you know what I mean? So I'm with you there. I think Jerry's great too, but right you know, on. Got to meet the Mulkeys, by the way, we're going to have them coming up. That's a guarantee confirmed.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Very excited. Mulkey mania. Exactly. Yeah, dude. Just press the flesh. Got some people hopefully coming up on the show. So
well, that's good. That's yeah. good. Yeah. You're my scout.
Yes. I'm out scouting talent. Exactly.
Yes. Yes.
That yeah. yeah, was fun.
And speaking of shows, March the 8th in Glasgow, Kentucky at the Crow's Nest Bar. Myself and Chase Stevens are going to, you know, we had to reschedule the little comedy / storytelling gig we're going to do. So March the 8th, it's a Friday night. They're in Glasgow. Me and Chase are going to be doing Road Stories. That's coming up. And then the next night, Chase is actually on the show too, but he'll be wrestling, I would assume. And I'll be there signing autographs. I got Scott Steiner coming to sign autographs. Heard it. Hillbilly Jim's going to be there too, so dude. That should be night. I haven't seen him in many, many years.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's don't cool. go so, missing with a country boy there.
So. Yeah. So anyway, those are my two upcoming events.
Yeah.
But other than that, man, we got the Hustler Rip Rogers today. Dude,
I'm so excited. I mean, I really
thought it'd be fun.
Yeah, you know, like yeah, you'll pay for the seat, but you'll only need the edge with Rip Rogers, right? You know,
yeah, man. And I think everybody listening right now has been anticipating this by the looks of the amount of shares and likes and all that stuff that the upcoming show has produced. So,
oh yeah, yeah.
Let's don't waste a lot more time. Let's go ahead and get Rip on the line.
All right, we'll be right back with the Hustler after these messages.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey folks, to get your official Live and in Color with Wolfie D merchandise, go to prowrestlingtees.com/livewolfied. Check it out.
If you're listening to Live and in Color with Wolfie D on Apple Podcast and like what you're hearing, go ahead and leave a 5-star rating. And while you're at it, write a review. Tell us what you liked. Tell us what you'd like to hear in the future. It's very important to us and always appreciated. Thanks again.
All right, guys, we're back. Thanks for joining us once again, Live and in Color at Wolfie D. And today, it's a very special day, February the 7th. It is Rip Rogers' birthday, and we have him on the show today on his birthday. He's missing cake and women and dancers and all kinds of stuff, right, Rip?
And mature young males too. Yes.
Well, happy birthday, Rip.
What are we, chopped liver?
Well, I can't be rented, you know.
Yeah.
If you're young, safe, handed faster, you surely get a lot more attention. Wolfie knows the game.
Yeah. Did you think you'd make it to 70, Rip?
I thought I would make 100.
Oh, oh nice.
Well, you know, I just had a birthday and turned 50. Nowhere, not close to you yet, but everybody kept saying, Wolfie, do you know it's your 50th? Hope you make it to 100. And I'm thinking, man, I didn't even know I'd make it to 50. I lived a little hard.
Well, you know, what the hell? I never did live hard. All I did was train too much.
Train too much.
But it showed, you know.
But yeah, man, so 70 years old. Well, how old were you when you broke into the business?
I had my first match. I was 22.
Wow. 22.
I was a school teacher and a football coach.
Yeah.
Yes. What did you teach?
Oh, hell, you know, PE, health science, biology, anything where you didn't have to do anything.
I love it.
And then you turn into a great wrestling teacher, and you know, and all the names that have come along there that are attached to you, you know,
super.
Oh, it's all a rib, you know.
The one that,
nobody trained me.
Yeah,
I just shut up and listened and learned.
There you go.
Yeah. Do you think that's kind of a lost art right now about people just shutting up and listening?
Yeah, I don't get along with today's wrestlers. they want to do their spots.
Yeah.
No, I say, no, you guys go an hour. All right, go. And that would be it. Everybody knew how to do it. It was all right. Called it. Everybody knew how to baby face, knew how to work heel. I said, watch the other matches that anybody else does. Don't do it. It's pretty simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now we got to have a dive to the fucking floor. We got to have clotheslines, bump feed for no goddamn fucking reason, whether you got a 6 arm or a 25 inch arm. There's got to be 102 false finishers from skinny nerds, and then all their moves, the heel just laughs and kicks out on one, and he says, gives us the old, oh, I can't believe he kicked out face. Yeah. Oh, I'm not allowed to cuss on this.
Yeah.
Okay. I do have a propane to do that a little bit, so what
me
the hell?
Too. Yeah. Yeah, the oh my god face every time.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I can't believe it. So man, I read something and I didn't know this, and maybe you can elaborate on it. You probably have before, but I saw that it said, and this is Wikipedia, so I don't know. It said something about the reason you left ICW was because you and Randy Savage had a falling out. Is that true?
Yeah.
What was the issue?
What's the issue always about?
Money or women?
There you go.
I got you.
Yeah.
Okay.
Randy brought Brenda Britton in.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And she liked me.
Gotcha. I had Randy
for years, right? And I'm the old dope, as low key as you can get.
Mm-hmm.
And he was a little bit high strung, you know.
A little bit.
Yeah.
That was his gimmick, I think, right? High strung.
Yeah. Well, you know. Well, you know how it is there. Yeah. But we had a lot of good times.
Yeah. I suppose go ahead.
We were in a spot show somewhere. I think I can't remember who the hell it was for.
Mm-hmm.
But we was by Nashville, right?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden Randy says, I'm tired. Pull over. I said, where in the hell are we? Because I would fall asleep all the time. I wasn't a good driver and stuff at that time, which not supposed to fall asleep.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, well, you just take over and I'll tell you where to go. Okay. Go down there and park. Okay. I said, what are you going to do? Well, I got something to do. Don't worry about it. All of a sudden, he comes running back in about 5 minutes. Get out of here. Let's go. I said, what's the matter? I just threw a brick through Lawler's window.
Oh, my God.
What the hell's the matter with you? Why? It doesn't matter. Get out of here. Get going. And that was just another day in the life of the Macho Man.
Yeah.
Was there any blowback from that ever?
Who knows?
Who knows? Okay.
Oh, I think he got on TV and said, if They threw a brick through Lawler's window. Yeah, I did it.
Oh, God. That's incredible.
The whole deal with him calling Lawler out and all that on the ICW shows, that was all pretty much a shoot of him just trying to get to Memphis and work with Lawler, wasn't it?
No.
It was
he was hope instead of concentrating on our own product. Mm-hmm. I was low man on the totem pole, so I just shut up and did whatever the other guys voted on, right?
Yeah.
He said there might be 50 more people show up just thinking Lawler might be there because Lawler was the fucking king there before cable TV, you know. Right. What the fuck?
Yeah.
Well, he was over.
Yeah.
So that's what that was all about. I didn't agree with it, but I was low man on totem pole. So I just, okay, guys, whatever you want to do, you guys, I'm an idiot. And you guys have been at this a while, so I'll trust your judgment. But right now, at this stage of my career, it don't seem like a very good thing promoting something else. But what the fuck, right?
That's a good story, though, the brick. So, man, I skip around a lot when I do this because I just say what comes to my mind. So back to the OVW, how did it end up? How did you know Danny and how did all that come about? You knew Danny from, I know, obviously working back in the day or whatever, but when did y'all become good enough friends to where it was like, hey, I want you to be my guy here?
Well, I lived in Seymour. Mm-hmm. And I come off the road, and I've been working for WCW, and let's see, who fired me? Oh, Kevin Sullivan fired me. Mm-hmm. We was down in Orlando,
mm-hmm.
and all these marks were just fucking bothering us. We were just trying to eat, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I just went into a gay act and was like flirting with one of her boyfriends, and she got all upset. And I remember Davey Boy Smith just walking through there and refused to pay for his food, and nobody did nothing. And here I am ribbing some fat girl who is about as extreme, is not attractive as you could get, but you're not going to say that, but I'm going to anyway. So that was that. But I had run developmental towns for Ole.
Mm.
That was why I shaved my beard, because I'd known Ole and Watts worked for him before. Love working for everybody else didn't like it. And I said, they're just using it. This is a business, boys. This ain't a fuck around. So I just get there, what I was fucking told, and I didn't give a shit. I'd run shows, and I'd be the agent. I'd be the booker. I'd work the first match. I'd announce. I'd get the jackets. I got paid for every job, right? And then Ole said, I said, well, here's everything broke down. He says, did you skim any? I said, hell no. I want to show you how good I can do. He says, oh no, standard procedures, skim 300. I said, oh, okay, you sure? He goes, yeah. I said, well, okay. I said, okay.
Standard procedure. So Danny starts OVW, and then just what calls you up and, hey, I want you to be the trainer with me?
Let me see. I come off the road. Let's see. I was working Danny worked about three towns a week.
Mm-hmm.
In the old building,
right.
The dump building. That was the best building.
Yeah. I remember that.
Yeah. But he'd work across. Let's see. This is when it was across the river in Jeffersonville, right? But mm-hmm. he ran three towns weekly, and then I worked Circle City for Mike Sample. There was four nights. Then mm-hmm. I'd usually book a spot show on, and then I worked as a bouncer in Indianapolis downtown mm-hmm. at one of the places. Dave the Rave Hart got me a job there. So all I did there is the first night in, I had a bunch of the boys come in, and I threw them all out and just, you know, they took off everything, right? And then nobody ever messed with me after that. That's all rib, right? Yeah, so I'd work with Danny, and then I went to the Maritimes four summers. It was a real easy place to work, and Rene Dupre's dad, Emil, he usually let me book thing, run the shows. I'd bring the money back, and I told Renee Goodwin, I said, you know, his dad was, he would count every picture, like, mm-hmm. like the end. You've got 100 pictures, so that would be $200 brought back if you sold them all, right? Mm-hmm. I said, yeah, I can add that good, you know. But anyway, to make a long story, I just raised the price from $2 a piece to $3 a piece and pocket a dollar for each one.
Yeah.
What the fuck? So he got his money and I got mine, right? What's fuck? Yeah.
Right.
I taught Renee how to do it too, you know. Oh, God. So I was working for Danny, and then he wanted me to be business partner. So I bought in as business partners with him. And then this is when he had, the Basham brothers down there, and Nick and Rob Conway, and Trevor Park Crash, and Flash Flanagan. We had a hell of a crew.
Yeah.
And then Danny got that little TV there. And then Jimmy come in. So it was me and Jimmy and Danny.
Mm-hmm.
And we all had specific jobs and stuff. And then Danny, I think Danny had a heart attack, was what I thought, from stress. And then so I just took over the training.
Yeah.
And so we all had a good rapport because, Jimmy's Jimmy. Right. Jimmy's a genius. But you gotta have the emotional baggage every once in a while, you know. What the hell, right? But then he yelled and screamed and bust a window out or whatever, and then he was fine. Then he's okay. Now I'll explain this to you knuckleheads. And then they started bringing Rico. I think Rico was the first one, and then Big Russ McCullough coming in, and then they all started coming in.
Right.
So I just treated them like any other guy. As soon as a minute late, I locked the door and I said, I guess tomorrow night you won't be at the Tid Bar. So now call the office and tell them you're fucking late. Get up earlier. So I was driving, I was living in Indianapolis and driving 2.5 hours to get there.
Wow.
Right.
Yeah.
And then I was driving 2.5 hours back.
Right.
And then I had to work at night to have insurance for my son because the great Vincent Kennedy McMahon wouldn't give me no insurance for my autistic son because we're independent contractors. So I had to get a job at UPS. It was my choice. It was the job. It was what I like to do. So to me, if I was on the road doing whatever, this was the business I chose to be in.
Right.
And you take the good with the bad.
Yeah, you do. Definitely. You do. Definitely. I tell you, man, the guys, you know, a lot of the ones you just mentioned, Trash and Densmore and all those guys, man, I'll say this. Them guys love you, man. They love some Rip Rogers, man. You really made an impact. I mean, I guess in their lives and also in their careers, but definitely, man, them dudes love you to death, man.
Yeah, they definitely do.
Well, I'd yell and scream at them, but then I explain why I yell and scream at them.
Yeah.
And everybody got to hear the lesson of what not to do.
Right.
Usually the wrestling is to shut the fuck up, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, and you'll be fine.
Yeah.
But that's like, Jimmy had a fit when I may give Nick the idea for Eugene, right?
Yeah.
He couldn't get it. And he would have been just a normal guy there, a great wrestler working underneath doing that. If he kept everything good, you might have a 3 to 5 run there. But then again, if you hadn't worked anywhere, now all of a sudden everybody's going to offer you drugs and alcohol and everything else, and you can't believe you're on TV and doing this and that.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Good and bad of everything. But being Eugene, he did stuff with anybody that was everybody there. So
For sure.
What I did was I said, well, just be Eugene, and then we'll do something, and they'll pile drive you or whatever, and then you'll go back. Then you'll remember, and you'll be Nick Densmore again. Hell, it's phony fucking wrestling. We can do whatever we want.
For sure.
Most important thing is get your dick sucked.
At the end of the day, that's what's
ding, ding, ding.
Jimmy, I'm going to tag you in, Jimmy.
Okay. One of my favorite gimmick names in all of wrestling is the Hustler, man. And I saw it. Did you pick that up in Continental? Is that where that started?
No, I'll tell you the story.
Yeah.
In 1979 and part of 80, after we had made the ICW tapes, but we didn't have that many bookings because it took a while. At one time, we had 13 or 14 TV markets. We were so big. It was getting paid for TVs in Puerto Rico and Mobile and two in Montana and San Francisco. But anyway, Lanny Poffo had got me booked out in Portland for Don Owens.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Piper was out there, Martel, Ron Starr, Adrian Adonis, Stan Stasiak. It was the Bushwhackers. I got to ride with them every day, but me and Buddy was tag partners. So one night we was at Sandy Bar's Flea Market. It was just the Portland Sports Arena on Sundays where they would have auctions and stuff. And he picked up a Playboy magazine. He says, "Hey, I'm the Playboy." And he threw me a magazine and he goes, "And now you're the Hustler."
That's awesome.
Rose and Hustler Rip Rogers. Just Buddy was so fucking sharp and he just fucking just saw that right there. And, that's how it all became.
Yeah. Well, I have a small request, and you don't have to grant it, and it's okay. I'll cut it out of the show if you want me to. But I want to borrow that Hustler name. Can I do that? Would you mind?
Well, as long as you put mine, this is Hustler Rip Rogers approved.
Yes, of course. Of course.
You know what I mean? Just slide that in there.
It would only be that. Yeah.
And I'll just lose, and I'll just, okay, whatever. Don't worry, this is Hustler Rip Rogers approved.
Yes, so. that's all that matters. And then that, okay. Yeah, uh-huh. as long as and that's if okay.
If you say I could be ribbon and I could not be ribbon, but what the hell, you'll never know.
Exactly.
No matter what I'm getting, no matter you're saying my name, good, bad, exactly. Or ugly.
Exactly. No, I won't rib about that part. I'll definitely put that over. If it's approved, okay. I'm going to go with that for sure. Thank you. And I just, you know, I love that name. I've always thought that was cool. And as long as I've known you as a wrestler, which is the 80s, you know, I remember seeing you in Continental first as a kid. And I've always, you know, loved the name Hustler Rip Rogers. I just thought that was just, man, that is just such a great wrestling name. It really is.
Was this like 86 or 84 or 3?
I would think I want to say like 86, I could say. Yeah.
Okay. Then I would have lived in Birmingham.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. We worked Birmingham. Yeah. Birmingham. Yeah. Because that went all the way from Knoxville down to the Gulf Coast then.
Yeah.
And I worked 6 months with Adrian Street and then I fucking left. I said, "I'm out of here." Fuller said, "What are you doing? What the hell's the matter with you?" I said, "Ron, I did my thing. I had a good time and I'm not going to follow it."
Right.
We had to go. Right. So we had all this shit going on and Adrian was just a sweetheart.
Yeah.
And we never had no fucking problems or anything. And we just fed off each other and we didn't go out there and plan all this shit. We'd plan a fucking finish, you know.
Yeah.
It was just you sell, I sell.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Right. You know, with Adrian, too, you know, I know you have your own podcast and at the end of the show, we'll let you put all that over. But did you ever have Adrian on your podcast?
I was in the process of getting him.
Yeah.
Was what I was.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because I'm not Mr. Technology, as you can fucking tell. So I didn't understand about because he had been gone and he'd been in the United Kingdom for a couple of years or something like that.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was always, Facebooking him or talking this and talking that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was so strange to me that I could send him a message and he would reply, you know, it was like crazy to me because I'm just a big dumb mark for this business. And man, Adrian Street is replying to me, you know? So anyway, yeah, I just was curious.
Everybody in this business is a big dumb mark or they wouldn't be in it.
Yeah.
And we're all missing a card.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember I was working for Elton Owens, I rode with a Buddy and the Bushwhackers every night, Butch and Luke. And Elton was always screaming, but he was a rib. He was just drunk. So he was saying, And Luca's going, Elton, if you paid, if I lived in Portland, you had me to drive to Medford, which was like 250 miles away. You put $100 on the porch, and all I had to do was pick it up and drive back. Nobody in their right mind would do that.
Right.
You want me to work twice, right? You think I want a car and drive 250 miles and pick up my money and drive back? Hell no.
But you can go wrestle.
Yeah.
That's right.
And
that's
pick up the man, I'll never forget the first time that I saw Adrian Street was on Memphis TV. He was working Lawler, and I don't know if you remember this, but it was Adrian. They kept going to lock up or do the test of strength, and Adrian would kind of tap him on the hand and start skipping around the ring. And I mean, they stalled and stalled and stalled, and then Lawler did it to him and started skipping around the ring, and everybody was, I mean, you could tell everybody was legit laughing. Man, Dundee was on the ground, and it was hilarious. And I just remember that as I was probably about 8 or 10, something like that. And that was the funniest thing I'd ever seen in my life. And I liked him after that, even though he was a heel and whatnot. I liked
him. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember remember the Global Wrestling Federation, the GWF?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The very first main event that night at the Sportatorium, which was, they called it the Global Dome on ESPN, was me against Adrian Street.
Nice.
Joe Pedicino was in there. Gordon Soley, let's see, he was in there on something. And then they had the tall, dark hair. I see guys' faces and I can't remember their names or vice versa. I'm so goddamn old.
Are you thinking?
No, huh? No. Tomorrow, when I'm not thinking about it, all of a sudden it'll pop right in my head. Right?
It'll pop in your head.
Yep.
Yeah.
So you and him are opening match. You and Adrian Street.
No, we was the main event of the first
the main
Global.
Event.
Yeah.
And we sat in his room all night. He was drinking all night. He was telling me his whole fucking story. From working in the mines and everything.
Right.
That was just fucking awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Was it a hell of a match?
It was the greatest main event there was that night. Win, lose, or draw, it was the first one.
Yeah. Yeah. I got a quick question. So let's go back to ICW for a second. So I'm from a small town in southwestern Virginia. It's Lebanon, Virginia, Russell County, really close to.
That's where Hoot Gibson's from.
Boom. You picked up on it. That's what I would love to hear is something about Hoot, because he's our local hero, you know.
The first time I met Hoot Gibson, I wasn't smart to the business and drove with this guy, my buddy Steve Cooper. He had worked in WOAY-TV. Warren Schoenbeck was the promoter there, and Shirley Love was the announcer, and I met B.B. Coleman there that night. And here he was. I wasn't even smart to the business, and Schoenbeck says, "You from Indianapolis?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "You're working for the Bruiser, right?" I said, "Yeah." He goes, "You babyface or heel?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You work with this guy over here, Indian Joe or something." He said, "Now, when you get the pencil, go home, and you're going over." I said, "Okay." And I'm thinking, "I'm going over. When I get the pencil, go home. What the fuck are you talking about? Son of a bitch, right?" I had Harlem Hildegard, all my shit on, the boots were $29 in, my shimmer cape. And when I come out, I just wanted to start screaming. Even though I was a baby face, mm-hmm. I just wanted to yell at the people because I seen them on TV doing that, right?
Yeah.
So hell, that's my great start. Two weeks later, I'm with B.B. fucking Coleman, and we're working for Vince Sr. in Allentown and at the Philadelphia Arena. Mm. And I'm going, how in the hell did I get here, right? I still wasn't smart, but what the fuck, right? That takes a while anyway, right?
Yeah, who is our local hero in Russell County here? So, you know,
he had the big hardware store, mm-hmm. and whenever, because we had the Johnson City TV hit it, and I think some of the Beckley TV hit it, so he was double hit.
Yeah.
So I remember the first time I met Hoot, he hit me with that funny wrestler's handshake, you know.
Yes.
So he was buddies with Garvin, so they would always go hunting and fishing and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, my uncle went with them one time, and that's when he learned a lot about the business that kind of changed his opinion of the business, because he's one of those guys, when he found out that something may be up with it, I think he was like, you know.
Hold it for him.
Yeah, we had the ICW wrestling school at one time. We was buying a building in Lexington, seated about 500, and then me and Randy was living there. And then all of a sudden, it cost too much to do all the rewiring and stuff. So Miser said, fuck it, we'll just go to Henry Clay High School or whatever. We went there for a while, and then we had to stonewall our way in to get into Rupp. Then when we got into Rupp, we fucking went there and barely broke fucking even.
Yeah. It's huge place, so, right?
That was a dumbass move by us. But you got to make every mistake before you figure it out. So what the hell?
Right. Yeah.
Let's take a quick time out and get a word from one of my dope ass sponsors, and we'll be right back with more Live and in Color with Wolfie D.
Support for Live and in Color with Wolfie D is brought to you by Manscaped, who is the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Manscaped offers precision-engineered tools for your family jewels. Manscaped recently launched the Ultimate Men's Hygiene Bundle, the Performance Package. Join over 4 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with this exclusive offer for you. 20% off and free worldwide shipping with the code WOLFIE at manscaped.com. If my math's correct, that's about 8 million balls.
Hey folks, this is Wolfie D here, and if you are looking to buy or sell a home in Tennessee or Southern Kentucky, you're going to want to call my buddy, the rock star realtor, Benji Bowie. And you say, Wolfie, how do I get in touch with this rock star? Well, you can call him directly at 615-390-8216. You can go to his website, BowieHomes.com, that's B-U-I-E, homes.com, or you can email him at BenBowie34@gmail.com. When you need a home, you need the Rockstar Realtor.
Benji is a member of Exit Realty's Garden Gate team in Gallatin, Tennessee.
How was it working with George Weingroff and his dad? And
we never worked with George's dad.
Oh, you didn't?
He was a wrestling coach from Indianapolis.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew his dad, Saul, but George, he was a teammates with Pez at University of Tennessee Chattanooga.
Right.
Pez was the heavyweight wrestler, and George is like the 185 or 89. I can't remember which one it was in, because the weight changes all the time.
Yeah.
But George was on the handicapped Olympic team or whatever.
Right.
As a wrestler. George could do everything in the ring, but you just don't do a bunch of 3-part high spots and stuff.
Yeah.
You just keep it simple and you're fine.
Yeah. Yeah. He taught me a lot, man, when I was coming up, you know, about 17 years old. I got to work with him a lot, and I learned a lot. Mm-hmm. Sure did.
Yeah. Yeah, he was easy, man.
Yeah.
Danny and him both, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, Danny was the next one that, like, you know, when me and Jamie got our break in Memphis, I was married to Danny almost every single night for months. And, man, that's where I really learned a lot. That's where, you know, him hip-tossing me, and as I'm in the air, he's telling me the next thing to do.
Yeah.
And, you know, that type mm-hmm. of thing, you know, and I'm at that point, I can't remember, 18 or 19, and I'm coming back from the ring after a 15-minute Broadway, blowed sky high, and he's not even breathing hard.
No, he's giving he's giving you all the bumps and you're running the ropes and he's dropping down twice and this, that. And I used to do that. I used to do that with Chris Benoit. Yeah. And just blow up sky high. He says, "Man, I want to learn to work like you." I said, "No, you don't. I'm all fucking carny." I said, "I could work, and I do every once in a while just to throw that bone at him that right. I can do, and if I want to." But it's best to do very little and sell each other.
Yeah,
because you got to get in, get out, not get hurt. Because there's a lot of dumbasses. It fucking hurts you, muscle head starting out and shit.
Yeah.
So,
and you know, the shelf life, man, of the guys now, everybody's hurt all the time, man. And it just makes me think back to, you know, my early days. And yeah, we'd be hurt a little bit, but we'd still have to go out there. But they're getting like really major injuries all the time, man.
Well, here's the deal. When you was in the business full time, you worked probably 6-7 matches a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then now look at these guys. They don't work.
Yeah.
So here's right. CM Punk coming back or whatever. Just as just an example. He's 40 years old. And guys, it ain't like you practice every night and work in the ring. When I'd get in the ring every night, I said, "No, I want to take an arm drag. Yeah, give me one slam. I want to take a back drop. I want to stay in bump shape." Because if you don't do it and they start doing this stupid shit, and your body's not used to it, oh my God. That's like if you got hurt and was out a couple weeks and all of a sudden you took a back drop, shit, and you was young, you couldn't hardly move the next day.
Yeah.
Some guy rib, he slammed you hard. I'm going, "What the fuck, motherfucker? Don't you slam me, asshole? I'm taking my own butt and everything. Fuck you, motherfucker."
Yeah. That's what Tracy Smothers always used to say. He said, "You do all the working out, all the cardio you want." He said, "Ain't nothing like ring shape."
Mr. Universe means nothing. Stepper, squat, that doesn't mean anything. Nope. You got to go the motions you do in the ring with your facials, your intensity, your body language, your circling, your struggle to do so, or like it look like you're struggling. A lot of failure stuff. And when I teach, I don't want 3 clothesline bump feet. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. No, why would you take a bump if you're jumping right up?
Yeah.
Now you just killed a fucking bump.
Right. It's like a lot of things, man. Like, I always tried to learn, like just let's take this for example. This is something that I usually don't do, get on here and bitch about things like this. But just for instance, somebody puts you in a headlock. I think the guys now think that backing them into the ropes and shooting them off is just a thing. It's actually a counter to the headlock. It's your way of escaping the headlock. And nobody, like, registers that part of it anymore, you know?
Well, that's like when I'm in with a bigger guy, right? I'm trying to shove him off. He won't fucking go. I'm trying to shove him off. He won't fucking go. I top wrist like that, but I can't get it. He puts me back down the headlock. I'm down the goddamn mat.
Exactly.
Finally, after I hit him with the fucking forearm in the fucking back, I barely shoot him off. I shoot him off. I try and follow him in, but I put my hands back to my fucking ears because
exactly
he's on my fucking cauliflower ears. And then he hits you with the fucking tackle.
Right.
And I sell that son of a bitch, maybe counting the fucking 20.
Right.
And the guy's right in back of me. I'll always go the wrong way, rock step back, or he can spin me around, grab that motherfucking headlock a day, and I scream fucking mercy, motherfucker. We got a head. We got an arm, leg, stomach, back to work on, body parts. It's just like playing guy football.
Yeah.
All you got to do is watch the other matches and give him a different body part.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly. Yeah. Punk is I think, one of the guys that kind of originated this current style. He was in that generation, at least. Let's just say that. I almost feel like some of the younger guys need to look at Punk and say, look what is to come for me, you know, working the same way that he worked or a lot of the guys in his generation worked. I almost feel like they need to start paying attention to some of the guys that are a little bit older and got that wrestler limp in the back. You know what I mean? Like, hey, look, that's coming for me. And it's getting younger. younger and younger, you know. I just feel like, you know, somebody like Daniel Bryan, you know, he's constantly got something wrong with him, unfortunately, a great wrestler. But
guys got to learn. I remember I'm working with Regal in England, and I tear my fucking quad in the match.
And that's
on me. I'm walking to the ring to start the match. There's somebody threw some beer on the floor. I slip. I catch myself. A gunshot goes. My quad's still torn. We went 40 minutes that night. Regal says, "You tore your." I said, "I sure did." Well, what I was doing was in the back, and I'm telling stories like a mark to the English boys, right?
Yeah.
Because me and Regal had been living together in England, Austria, Austria and Germany, and Dortmund got canceled, so we went to England and worked.
Gotcha.
So this and that.
Yeah.
But yeah. When I met Regal, I got him a job with WCW. I got Max Payne a job with WWF at the time, or WCW. And then Fit came in, and Dave Taylor came in. So he was all in the crew in England, Austria, Germany.
That's awesome. That's awesome. What a crew, man. What a crew. I got to ask you, so one of the questions... This is kind of talking about OVW a little bit, and I know we are jumping over, but was there someone that you trained or worked with there that you really expected to, like, this guy's got it? There's nothing more I can teach him. No, nobody?
No. What I'm saying is wrestling's phony. If Vince McMahon sees this guy's picture and likes him, no matter if he's rotten, that's who he wants.
Oh, okay.
What I did is I said, look, this ain't real. That's why I had some guys actually kill themselves while they were there.
Oh, man.
Suicide.
Wow.
Because it ain't real. It ain't the 100-yard, it ain't the 100-meter dash in the Olympics. You could come in last, but Vince still wants you.
Right. Yeah.
So you're making the money. And what I was proud of, I got over 70 guys jobs that weren't on contract. They come in the beginner. Like Santino, like Mike Mondo, like Johnny Jeter, like Serena Deeb, all these guys, girls come in, and I treated them all the same, like shit. I got to toughen you up, because I said, if you're a girl and you're hot, every hot girl's going to hate you because you're going to know how to fucking wrestle.
Right.
So they're going to band against you and knock you. Because you're better than fucking them. And the same with the fucking guys. And I said, they're going to try and get you fucked up. They're going to do stuff to put you in different situations and shit. Because if I'm a bleach blonde, my competition is a bleach blonde. If I'm a black guy, my competition is black guys. You know, it's like the NFL. The quarterback's competition is quarterbacks, not the fucking tackle. It's a left-handed shorthand reliever in Major League Baseball. It's the goddamn combo guard or a point guard or a shooting guard in the NBA. That's your competition.
Yeah.
So they're going to do everything they can and get all their friends to do it because they've been there longer to get to knock you and bury you. And you could have said nothing, and they can say you said this and that and whatever. And I'd say, welcome to the wrestling business, boys. and that's just the fucking way it is.
Yeah.
I saw where Matt Hardy made a statement or something saying like that the Young Bucks would have never lasted like back in the day, and just talking about how the dressing rooms were, and this is all because of the whole Vince deal and all that kind of stuff. I truly believe that, man, because I've seen some dastardly shit go down, man. You know, like things that are beyond ribs, and just people just get. Murdered, man. Just murdered in a ribbon way, but it just overdone, you know. I don't think that some of these cats could survive back then, man.
There wasn't really any pussies that I knew in the business unless George Gulas.
Oh my god.
And he couldn't help it that he was a pussy. Right. Didn't work out. His dad was the boss.
Yeah.
Hell, if you're the father and you want your kid to be a wrestler, what are you going to do? Make him a job guy?
Right.
Now years ago, the wrestler would be the boss. Then he'd bring his son in.
Yeah.
First, he would get the shit beat out of him.
Yeah.
Then all of a sudden, in a couple of years, he'd have some upsets. But it would be a five-year plan. All of a sudden, he starts getting good.
Mm-hmm.
And he started training. And people have seen him be in the shits, and they grew up with him.
Right.
And they know that guy can sell. Instead of trying to, there's nothing worse in any sport than some fucking rookie coming in and dominating some fucking veteran that can fucking kill him, and everybody knows it.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But what, I remember wrestling in my fucking hometown. I said, no, I'm going 2 out of 3, beat me 2 straight. And the people were like mad. I said, well, he beat me. He's better than me.
Yeah.
No, he's not. And I was a heel, right?
That's funny.
What the fuck?
I love it. Well, okay, skipping around again. So at WCW, man, you working with Road Warrior Hawk. How was that?
Oh, it was all rib.
Yeah.
It doesn't fucking matter. Everybody's a rib with me. If you hit me hard, I'll fucking leave the ring. Fuck you. Violence. What the fuck are you doing? I'm an engineer.
Yeah.
But he was funny. He was a good guy. Oh, when they started, I remember that's when I was living with Randy, and we watched him on TV on TBS. And I said, this is real. And he's watching people. Well, what it is they're just steroid guys, and they're really fucking rotten, and they're going to kill somebody.
Right.
But they made a lot of money, so what the hell, right?
Yeah, that was it, man. Jimmy knows this. It was Road Warriors, Randy Savage, Curt Hennig. Those were the four that made me want to do it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Absolutely.
Yeah, Curt, he was. You know what's so funny is I rode with Randy every day for years and years. And we would do the editing at the fucking house. We had our own tape players and stuff and editing equipment. And he would do all the booking. We do the finishes. When I started working with him, I was in Dupre's territory. I was the inevitable Hercules Samard, the guy that the only talent he had was, well, there wasn't any, come to think about it. But anyway, no, I'd have to go. Randy'd take me 40 minutes every night. You know,
yeah.
And I never seen him prearrange anything in his fucking life.
Really?
Right. So, and I learned, and I've still never been in a ring before a match to do anything.
Yeah.
No, I just said, I remember working with Savio Vega in Puerto Rico. I said, Savio T, we're going an hour. He said, what? I said, yeah, make a comeback at 57. Hit me with the coat or. Hit me, put the Cobra sleeper on me, and I'll pop the Alka-Seltzer, and we'll run out of time. Mm. He goes, yeah, but I said, I'll see you in the ring. And that was it.
Yeah.
When it was over, I said, you were fine. What you did is you fucking listened to me, didn't you? He said, yeah. I said, well, that's how easy it is. Learn this shit.
did it kind of, okay, you said like Randy, you know, he never went over his stuff or whatever, but then you find out years later that the match with him and Steamboat was laid out move for move. I thought that was, it was kind of like, wow, you know,
he told me that, or yeah, I read that and I said, well, I can see that because the main event was Andre and Hogan in a slam match. Right.
Yeah.
So it had nothing to do with wrestling.
Right.
It was two big old slow guys power. Right.
Yeah.
So he had a chance where he could have just called it in the ring because anytime you do stuff that's memorized, there's no timing there.
Yeah.
Your body, everything's different.
Mm-hmm.
You're robotic. Instead of, I'd call time out and take a powder and threaten to lock up and threaten to do this and threaten to do that, leave again, come back, go to something, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas it's like, Steve goes, oh, no, this is number 129, you know?
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so, but then again, and then, and they told me that, and I said, well, I guess he changed.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I guess he changed. But I said, never before in my life did I see him do that. That's like you get in the ring with Ronnie Garvin. We might go 50 minutes, and the only word he'd say, double knockout, and that would be it. The whole fucking match. Yeah. He would just work and play off each other.
Yeah.
It was just totally fucking different.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a listener question come in from Martin Edwards. He's one of our listeners on Facebook. And he says he would love to hear, since you're talking about Randy, and we've talked about him the whole show, but there's the Bill Dundee, Randy Savage fight when the Poffos and Thunderbolt Patterson, who was used as bait, jumped.
No. I'll tell you the whole thing. I was there.
Okay.
Okay. Now, 2 days before I was in a physique contest and won Mr. Southern Kentucky in Bowling Green. Then we worked at the Cook Convention Center. We were off on Monday, so we was going to drive to Johnson City a day early because it was going to go all the way from Memphis all the way across, right?
Yeah.
Now, at that time, I was still sort of a nerd, and Randy had hoped he had, I think Candy Devine was working there. That's what it was, I think. Mm. And all of a sudden, he knew Dundee was there. But I was in the car. It was me, I think Angelo, Pez, and Randy. But nothing was ever said about none of this except we were going to go to the gym to train where the Memphis guys trained because they let the wrestlers in free.
Mm-hmm.
So me, I just got done with the fucking contest, so I'm getting my shit, give it to Pez Watley Sniff on what I was going to wear to the gym, right? And I got a protein bar and a Diet Coke with me. I'm not paying any attention. I see Dundee walk by. Now we were not in the gym there yet, and I just saw Bill walk down there. I think I saw Stan Lane and Steve Kern too, if they went in or come out earlier or later, whatever it was. But I wasn't paying any attention. I didn't give a fuck. And whatever Randy had on his mind, I knew I'd heard him get mad because Bill had some trunks on that said Macho Man. And I guess some girl gave it to him. So he wore them, right? Which what you're supposed to do.
Sure.
But Randy wasn't all there. We all knew that, but what the fuck, right? So Bill went down to his car, and I'm still not paying any attention, finishing. And they were probably 40 yards away or something. I didn't have my tape measure out because I wasn't paying any attention. I just knew I was going to finish this thing and go in and have a workout in.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden I hear a bunch of screaming and stuff. And I guess Randy had sucker punched Bill, which Randy would always try and sucker punch you. Tried it with me. Didn't work. But he'd hit Bill, and I guess he had broke his, or at the time he didn't know it was a break of his orbital bone, which is the top of your jawbone.
Yeah.
Bill said, let me pull my trunk. Now, this is all hearsay. I'm just going by what I heard Randy scream when he got the hell out of there, right? And then Bill pulled a gun out and was basically going to bandage him or whatever. Yeah. And hell, I'm still back at the fucking car because I'm still eating my fucking, and don't give a fuck about what they do. They can all jump off a bridge. I don't give a rat's ass. So all of a sudden, I see Randy skedaddling back. And Miser looked like he was having a heart attack, and Tess coming back, shaking his head, Tess sort of laughing. And I remember Thunderbolt was there, but we had two cars is what we had.
Okay.
And I really didn't know what, so all I didn't see it. All I did was heard it.
Okay.
So, then Randy sucker punched him, and then, Bill was going to go to his trunk to get something to for his face or whatever, and he pulled out a fucking gun, and that was it. So
wow.
That's all I know about it.
Okay,
and then
gotcha.
Telephone, right. Telegraph, tele-wrestler. And with me, you, and six other wrestlers, it would be a completely different story
right.
5 minutes
later. Right.
So
right.
That's all I can tell you.
So Bill pulled a gun on the Macho Man, and he pulled a knife on Wolfie D.
So, I was going to say, you only registered a knife, Wolfie, man. Come on.
I know. I didn't get the gun. I just got a knife.
Did Bill pull a knife on you?
Oh, yeah.
What the fuck did you, was he drinking or what?
No, it was, I'll tell you the whole story here real quick. It was, he was knocking me and Jamie when we first started. He was knocking us. He didn't want Jerry Jarrett to bring us in. Oh, they're too little. They're too this. They're too that. Blah blah blah. So anyway,
no, he wanted to be the Andre of the midgets, right?
Right.
There's only, you can't have too many midgets, or you know what I mean.
That's right. And so anyway, we start there, and then we start getting our push and yada yada. Well, he had never like been a fan, you know. I mean, and not to say that he needed to kiss my ass. I mean, he didn't even really care for his son being there at that point in time. He's changed, you know, but over the years. But anyway, so then he takes a picture with me and Jamie, and then he's selling it on his gimmick table for $3 as opposed to the two. So I'm like, Jamie, because people are bringing us this picture of all three of us. They're buying it from him and they're bringing it to us to sign it. I'm like, dude, this ain't cool, man. I said, he's cutting into our money here. Well, I can't say nothing to him. You'll have to say it because that's my dad, and I can't say nothing. I said, okay, I will. So we were at a spot show. I want to say it was Mississippi or something like that, a little high school gym. Uh-huh. And I walk. He's laying. He's dressed already. He's laying on a bench. And I said, hey, I didn't want to do it in front of everybody. I just wanted to have a talk with him, you know. And I said, hey, man, can you come outside here real quick and let's talk? You got something to say to me, mate? You say it right now. Okay. Well, this is the deal, Bill. I think this is bullshit, blah, blah, blah. I think you should give us a little money off of those, da, da, da. So anyway, he stands up, things escalate, da, da, da. Then we're in each other's kind of face, you know. And the last thing I remember saying was I just kind of put my arms out to the side and I was like, well, what the fuck's up then? Like, let's fight then. And he said, I'll show you what's up. And he reached in his boot and he pulled out this big fucking knife. And I kind of, you know, backpedaled a little bit. And about that time, Doug Gilbert and Randy Hales kind of got in between and settled it down. But he got fired over it. And
how long?
For probably about a month, but Lawler and Randy they came to me and said, if we bring him back, will you do an angle with him, kind of a, you know, the shoot work angle, whatever. And I said, sure. And we did. We went out there and he busted his ass, man. He worked hard with me and we kind of earned each other's respect and we've been cool ever since. But that was that. At any rate, we appreciate you coming on here, Rip. Dude, you plug all your stuff, man.
I appreciate you sticking to your time limit, like you said.
I do it, man. You ask Jimmy, I'll cut a motherfucker off in a minute.
he's had two before, yeah.
Hey, when we do our podcast, we got no fucking format. We just fucking pre-ball and start talking bullshit, and I'll be talking 100 hours, then I forget what I was talking about. You know, that's the norm. What the fuck, right?
Well, I love it.
Nice to be on your show. Nice to talk to you guys.
Thank you, Rip.
You can get my t-shirts from Pro Wrestling Tees. You can get your Hustler beer. You can get your Hustler book from Amazon. And you can watch us on YouTube. Fridays, let's see, what we come on 11, and then 11, and then another. And then we got a guest on from at 12 or something like that. So thanks for having me. Guys, live the dream and get your dick sucked as much as possible.
It's a great podcast.
Words to live by.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll be right back. Boy.
Thank you, Rip.
Ask Wolfie D anything.
All right. Thank you. Have a good night, guys.
Rip. Take care, buddy. DJ, hit that music. All right, we are back with Ask Wolfie D Anything, and oh my God, man, I don't know what to pick out to laugh about the most. Rip, yeah.
Rip's a mess, man. He's always been a mess.
Golly, I was crying at some of those moments, man. He's just he's so real and funny and authoritative with his, like, Yeah, he's and he funny, says man. The F word so eloquently, it just feels like poetry, you know?
Yeah. Get your daily blowjob, you know?
Exactly.
Those are words to live by, man.
I know. It was so good. Yeah. Yes. But anyway, yeah, thank you, Rip. Thank you. And by the way, Adam Parsons from the Wrestling Legends Network, he sent me a message saying, hey, you guys should get Rip on. And we were like, yeah, that's a great idea. And we'd already thought about it in the past, but for some reason never did it. And
yeah.
So you got in touch with him and pulled the trigger. So shout out to you, Adam. And I think, you know, the Live and in Color would do well on that Legends Network, don't you think, man?
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
That's another conversation for another day. But we got some questions, Wolfie D. All right. So the very first one we have is from Matthew Stromberg. And this one we've talked about over time, basically. And, you know, so I want to play a couple clips here that I want you to listen to. So the question he asks is, what are your thoughts on the New Jack Gypsy Joe fiasco, right? Okay.
Yeah.
And we kind of, you know, we know the story and the deal, but, you know, when it comes down to it, I wanted to play a couple things, and this is them talking about it, and this, we'll start with Joe. How about that?
Okay.
There are speculations on why New Jack did what he did, but can you kind of give me your estimation on why he, stepped on you in such a violent way?
He called some people, this is supposed to be a hardcore match. So he claims I headbutted him a little too hard, and he got a little woozy. But he was woozy from the drugs he done before, not because I hit him with my head. But that's hardcore, right? Everything goes. If you hit him with a pole, you hit him with a pole. If you hit him with a fist, you hit him with a fist. If you kick him in the ass, you kick him in the ass. That's the object of the game. And that's the way it's supposed to be. If he knows any other way, let him bring it on. That's still alive. If he wants some more, bring them on. I'm not scared. New Jack, old Jack, puny Jack, or tough Jack. I don't give a damn. I don't give a fuck.
Oh my God. You gotta
love
Jack.
That is great. That is great. I've never heard that before. That is incredible. I love that.
How long has it been since you've heard Joe's voice, man?
Oh, I was just sitting here thinking that, dude. I mean, probably the last time when I visited him when he was in a nursing home, I believe. Yeah. You know, but hearing him fired up like that, you know, and he's right. He's so right in what he's saying, man. You know, this is just he laid it in and come. You know, you would think why I never did understand why Jack would get so mad to bring it to that point. You know, I mean.
Yeah.
You know, I talked about it, man. I mean, dude, he didn't really hurt Joe.
Right.
He was trying.
He was. Yeah.
And had Joe been in his prime, I think it would have been a different story. And, you know, and this is coming, you know, somebody saying, oh, I got, he headbutted me too hard. Coming from somebody that tased the motherfucker and threw him off a scaffolding and about killed him.
Right.
You know what I mean? Come on.
Right.
Stabbed a dude. I mean, like I said, I got along with Jack and I had good matches with him and stuff like that, but some of his stuff was just uncalled for, I think. But but just, you know, Joe was that is the funniest. I don't get that scared of New Jack, old Jack,
Kojak.
That shit was funny.
So we do have a response from New Jack if you'd like to hear this.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So this is New Jack discussing it from the other side. All right. Here we go.
Well, for those that don't know who Gypsy Joe is, he's an old little guy, about 76 years old. And Gypsy Joe was probably over when gas was about 12 cents a gallon. He was a star way back in the day, back during the time where he probably tag team with Moses and Jesus. He was way back there, dog. And Gypsy Joe decides that he wants to do a match against me. Yours truly. So I go to Tennessee to meet this guy to do these promos at this TV studio. And I walk in, it's this big old white boy sitting there all muscled up. Then there's this little bitty white dude sitting there. So I walk up to the big guy. I'm like, what's up, man? I'm Jack. He said, what you calling? I said, well, you're not Joe. He said, no, that's Joe right there. So I looked at him. I'm like, okay, they playing with me. But he said, no, I'm Joe. It's okay. So I go to the promoter. I said, so what you want me to do with this guy? He said, have a match with him. He's hard as nails. He's tough as leather. I said, bro, I can't do but one or two things with him. I said, I can either beat him to death or do I go out there and do a comedy match and lose dollar value in my name. He said, he can take anything you dish out. He's tough as nails. I said, okay. So I go to the show and it's just country hicks, rednecks, no teeth, stinking, no shoes. I mean, it was disgusting. And I'm usually accepted as the good guy. But in Tennessee, if I came in there with some angel wings and a halo, I'm not gonna be the good guy. They won't let me. So when I walked out, I knew I was in for something. When, you know, sometimes I take my bandana off and throw it in the audience. Well, I threw it in the audience and they threw it back. They didn't want it. They didn't want no part of me. So now New Jack gets in the ring. Gypsy Joe comes out wearing his pink tights and little panty things and his nice little pretty coat and his hair that's blotted and splotched. And he got little, it won't even die no more. It's just gray and then his bald head spotting it. You know. And we started the match. And Gypsy Joe will not sell nothing that I gave him. In other words, if I punched him, he had like I didn't punch him. So then he headbutted me in my nose. I got enough nose as it is, and he just smashed it. So then I went on the attack, and I beat him, and I beat him, and I beat him, and I stomped him. I wrapped ball right around his head, snatched it off, and big old piece of hair in it, and I took a baseball bat and pinged him across the top of his head and beat him, and then everybody in the audience was calling me the N-word, and I was putting their whooping on Joe like it wasn't going to be no tomorrow. The promoter came out and stopped the match. He said, I'm stopping the match due to unnecessary roughness. And the match ended. I went downstairs and got my bag and got in the trunk of somebody's car and we left. Because they called the cops. Needless to say, Gypsy Joe did not respond to any interviews when people want to talk to him about the match that me and him had, because off the record, he told somebody that was the worst beating he ever took in his life, thought I was going to kill him. And actually, if I could have gotten away with it, I would have. Because it comes a time and point in this business where you get too old to do this. You're too young to do it, then you're too old to do it. And his day done came and went a long time ago. And me having the reputation I have in this business, you might not like me, but you will respect me. And if not, you'll be laying up beside him in the hospital and I'll beat the fool out you.
So anyway, now, you know, New Jack is sitting there talking to, I would assume, probably just somebody like me, like a fan interviewing him. Uh-huh. And obviously there's going to be an element, I think, of bravado there.
Yeah, sure.
You know, and especially after the fact, and he's had years to talk about it and think about it. Right. Yeah. I mean, does any of what New Jack said ring with you at all?
I think what probably happened there is just a clash of egos. Because, I mean, Joe had a bit of an ego, even in his older age. You know?
Sure.
He prided himself on being a tough guy.
Right.
So does Jack, or did yeah. Jack. And so it was probably just one of those things. They could have started when, if that actually took place, where they went to do interviews or whatever and met in that situation, it could have started right there. You know what I'm
right.
saying?
If, right.
Joe knew that he was like, hey, I'm either going to beat the hell out of this guy or I'm going to, you know, degrade my worth by doing a comedy match with him. See, so I don't know. He kind of, to me, kind of felt like he didn't want to do it from the get go. You know what I mean? So,
right. Right.
That's it could have started there. But yeah, just two guys that have, you know, that type of, you know, ego.
Yeah.
Shit right. like that's going to happen, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, Joe is, you know, who he is. So obviously he's going to take the beating, but Jack is also being Jack in that he's probably hearing stuff from the crowd.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's making him angry. And yeah, man, I don't care who you are. When you get hit in the nose, it does tick you off, man. Yeah, you know?
Sure,
so,
sure.
You know, and he gets headbutt in the nose and that probably did hurt, but man, again, I still stand on what you said earlier. He's done so much worse to other folks.
And okay, throw the man a receipt and let that be it.
Right.
You know, don't try to kill him.
Right. Right.
And plus, you're like he just said, he's 76 years old. What do you get out of beating up a man that old?
Right.
I would feel so guilty.
Yeah.
Unless he was literally trying to kill me or something, you know, and it just one good potato just deserves another, you know,
right.
Or two,
right.
You know.
Right. 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 Exactly. Yeah. I mean that, you know, one turn deserves another, right? That's what you were trying to say there. And yeah. I mean, it's exactly what it is, man. You know, I don't know. I can't imagine being there. And then to know that Mike Porter is the one that's now, come on, Jack, get off of him, you know, quit doing that.
Yeah. But you that know. Is funny though. Throwing an NFL unnecessary roughness
in a hardcore match.
In a hardcore match.
Yeah.
Through the flag.
Man, I've never worked in that building that they worked in. I know Porter ran. Was that in Columbia, maybe, where that happened?
I believe it was Grand Slam in Columbia.
Okay, sure. Grand Slam. That's what it looked like, yeah.
And I don't know. I don't think I was there that night. I'm pretty sure I was not, but I was at that building with Jack. I know that for sure, but I don't
know
that week. I don't
Yeah, I got you. Yeah, I mean, it's a rotten situation no matter whose side you take. It's unfortunate, you know, but I guess probably what it also was is he didn't know who Joe was, probably. He didn't know Joe's legacy.
Right.
And he don't care, you know. It's like, well, he ain't Hulk Hogan, you know.
Right.
So, you know, and everybody's probably blowing him up. I'm imagining Porter talking to Jack on the phone saying, oh, yeah, Joe's tough. He's been around, you know, that kind of stuff. And, okay, well, he's saying he's tough. I'm coming in expecting Goldberg, and I get Gypsy Joe, you know. And
Is at 76, not
at 76. You know, at
30.
Right. Which 30, he would have been a different story. I know that. That would have been a different story, man.
Yeah.
But whatever, man. I guess what's your ultimate feeling on it to kind of put this one to bed?
I just think that it should have never happened to go that far. I just don't think it should have. But we all know Jack will take things to the extreme.
Right. Yeah.
And I'm not trying to be funny when I say that, but
no. That is his deal. Yeah. Well, hey, thanks for the question. I know we've answered it a few times before, but I did want to add those interviews in to give a little.
Oh, that was good. Yes. That was good that you did that. I made it. I don't even think we need two more questions, but go ahead.
Yeah. We're going to do one more because of the length of that one. Okay. So
I'm game for two if you got them, but whatever. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes. So, all right. This is Bob Daniels on Facebook. Old Bob.
Oh,
it says, if you could pick one different finisher for both Slash and Wolfie D, other than what you did, what would it be? And it can be one someone else was mostly known for. Was there a finisher that you wanted to steal but you couldn't have because somebody else used it? Or
Well, one of my favorite moves is a kid and the most dangerous move because it was outlawed was the pile driver. But when you go into work in Memphis and Jerry Lawler's there and it's illegal, you don't really get to do a pile driver much.
Right.
And I've always, I'm not a fan of my pile driver. I'll be honest with you. I'm not good at it. And, but that's one that I just love. But now it's not a super Canadian destroyer. So it really doesn't affect the crosses like it used to.
It's a high spot now.
Yeah. But, you know, I love the elbow off the top. I thought I'd do that pretty good. I didn't really never use it as a finisher, but later in my career, I did start using it quite a bit. There's a lot of things as Wolfie. I wished I would have done more, you know, higher impact stuff, but that wasn't our deal. And we weren't, you know, we were kind of brawlers when we got our push. You know, a lot of our stuff was fights, not a lot of, you know, super wrestling. I mean, we did that too, but a lot of our stuff was fights. And, but that was just, that's Memphis, you know?
Yeah.
Slash, I really think I got all the moves that I wanted to do, I guess, as Wolfie, because Slash was different, Slash was stronger, meaner, that type of thing. So any move that I may have wanted to do that I didn't do as Wolfie, I think Slash did them.
Yeah. So you kind of corrected some things that maybe you wish you could have with.
Yeah.
With
I worked more the way that I wanted to be able to work as Slash. And I'm not saying like I held myself back or anyone held me back as Wolfie, but I just had a different, move set and everything because of our size and the type of matches that we were in and stuff, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And the way it was back then, I mean, a lot of the heels that I worked, say Tommy, Doug, Dan, you know, the people that I was in there with wasn't going to let me do shit like that. You know, can you see me doing the fucking whirly bird to either one of those two?
No. Let me down, Wolfie. Put me down. Yeah. That would be hilarious to see you do that to Doug or Tommy. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Good, put me down. You can't do
that.
I would
get back in the ring to do that.
Come on, somebody book that one. Whirly bird match.
Just even as a run in.
Yes, yes.
Just, oh my God. Hit the move and roll out.
That's funny. Yeah. Well, that, you know, I could almost see it. I was trying to think of something that, you know, like a stabbing type finisher, because, you know, you being the serial killer, but yeah, I don't think there's anything else you could have corrected, really.
No, because I did a whole bunch of moves that, you know, I always kind of wanted to, and made up some new stuff and
yeah. Now, you know, being that we just had Cahagas on, I recently watched the, you know, match that you and he had, and it was a great match. Absolutely. Yeah. A top five match there, but I noticed you did the Savage elbow drop in that match. Mm-hmm. Is that something that you normally did, or was that?
I started using it a lot around that time. Yeah.
Okay.
And going forward. Yeah.
Something you kind of picked up that, you know, later.
I don't think I ever did it as Wolfie D. I don't think.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a solid one, man. I'm sure that's a tricky one to do, because you're like, I'm sure you could land horribly on that. Like,
oh yeah.
You know, so
yeah,
but yeah, that's a good match. I'm sure if you haven't seen it already, go check it out. It's all over YouTube, so for sure, Wolfie D. Cahagas, you'll find it. But yeah, I think, you know, with the length of that New Jack question, and I think we'll wrap it here, because I knew that one was going to be a longer conversation, so I thought we would put some more time into it and get it out of the way. You know what I mean? So that is all. For today.
That's all we got. And we'll go ahead and give a little spoiler here for next week. We got the Hex coming on.
Yes.
So that's going to be a good interview for next week. So
the Hex. Yes. Yeah,
everybody tune into that.
Very cool. Allison Kay, Marty Bell, great tag team, former NWA Women's World Tag Team Champions.
World Tag Team
Champions.
Be cool. As you know, I mean, we don't typically have a lot of women wrestlers on and all that, so that'll be something cool.
And we got some very cool ones after my networking job the other day, so
The Scout.
It's
great.
Yeah. So be on the lookout for some excellent interviews coming up very soon, we promise. So, okay. Yeah, that's all I got, brother.
Thank you. Thank Rip and everybody for listening. We'll holler at you next week.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Give Me Back My Pro Wrestling, the podcast that's based on the old school but can still help you find the good stuff from today. Jimmy Street and the Plastic Sheik, Jared, are the undisputed tag team champions of the wrestling podcast world. From thought-provoking topics to superstar interviews to action figure expertise, this team does it all. And all they ask is, give me back my pro wrestling! Every other Thursday, wherever you listen to podcasts.
That's right. It's the talk of Middle Tennessee, the channel you love to hate and the channel you hate to love. It's Brian Turner from Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. And if you're looking for matches from Wolfie D to Jerry Lawler to Dusty Rhodes and the team that put a pimp before your eyes and a goatee between your thighs, Boudica and Athena, go to LostWrestling.com. See, I made it easy for you. Brian Turner's VHS Rehab. Booyah.
Join me, Gene Jackson, for the Jackson Interaction Podcast, where I'll be doing one-on-one interviews with people from the world of professional wrestling, as well as stand-up comedy. You can get them anywhere podcasts are available in both video and audio form, but you can find them all at GeneJacksonPod.com.
So that was another great episode. Hey, Wolfie, tell them where they can find you on social media.
Jimmy, they can find me in the club, bottle full of bub. I'm just kidding. They can find me on Facebook. My personal page is Warren Wolf, W-O-L-F-E. I'm on Instagram, at WarrenWolf13.
You can always find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, at LiveWolfieD. Here's the thing. Wolfie always has offers for his autographed photos. He has a selection of some awesome photos from throughout his career that he will autograph and personalize any way that you want him to. Just contact him either directly at his personal Facebook page or through any one of our other pages, and we'll make sure you get in contact directly with Wolfie. Get those photos, right, Wolfie?
Yeah, I've got some good stuff on there, you know, to help with the podcast.
Folks, if you can't get out to a show to meet Wolfie D, there's nothing like that, especially for the fans of PG-13 and Wolfie D. And before we go, you can always find me, your host, Jimmy Street, at James Rock Street on Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube.
And hey, Jimmy, before we go real quick, I just want to add in there, from the bottom of my heart, I really appreciate, first of all, the work you've done for this podcast. You have worked your butt off. Secondly, the people that are liking the page. Beyond that, even more, is the people that are listening. And we really appreciate that.
Yeah, and remember, guys, the podcast drops a new episode every Monday at noon, and our past episodes are streaming now on demand on all major podcast formats. Thanks again.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
I got a cap for your dome.
He got a cap for your dome.
And here we go. The original white boy that came out sagging, not bragging, don't be hating, cause I'm spitting the truth. Still living in color. Blum rush your mother, utilize a hubcap. I'm like any other. Back in the day, I was N-O-D, and I was P to the G, plus the one and the three. In case you forgot, they call me Wolfie D. Been cloned and copied so many times. Tired of suckers taking credit for what is mine. You know who you are without me name dropping. Wrestling's first white boy coming out hip hop. Been doing it like this since 92. Laid low for a while when you thought I was through. Listen real close to these rhymes that I've injected. This shit's so sick it makes your ears get infected. Mad skills, no faking, there is no one great. Cause I'm bringing more folks from over on board later. Not here to play games, so you better beware. You don't like me, so what?
I really don't care.
All the time I keep ticking and I can't be stopped. You suck a step to the side unless you wanna get dropped. When I finish, I'll straight knock you out. Please allow me to tell you what it's all about. I'm gonna wind it up, then I'm driving it home. It's Wolfie D, baby. Huh? I got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome.
You got a cap for your dome. You got a cap for your dome.
This has been a James Rock Street production.